It is now 4 o'clock. So I'd like to call the Real Property Committee to order. It's 4 o'clock Wednesday, October 3rd, in the conference room. And in attendance are councilpersons Ward, Ferenc, and myself, Del. So with that, let the press and public that were duly notified in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act.
Thank you.
First item on the agenda is approval of the previous minutes meetings.
So moved.
Meetings minutes from September 5th.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Item 3 on the agenda, citizens' comments. Any citizens like to make comments? That's a first. Perfect. Comments from the marina towns? Carla?
Do you have one?
Jay?
No, your honor.
Don't all rush at once, Larry.
It's too quick today.
Hello, folks.
I would just say, since we don't have microphones, please.
Try to speak up?
Speak up as much as possible.
All right. First of all, I just wanted to update you that we did contact the accounting firm that's going to do the review of financials for the marina. I spoke with Melissa McKitty today, and she'll be coming out on Wednesday morning to take a look at the restaurant and start the review. So I'm glad that that's moving along quickly. Secondly, I just wanted to just make a statement regarding, I sent an email to Desiree earlier this week about the confusion over the language of that proposed lease, which I know is a dead subject now, but I did just want to go on the record to say that it was never our intent for it to be construed as 33 years. I said on several occasions out loud, and we did provide printed documents in addition to that document, that we were looking for a 15-year extension. And that document was purely supposed to be a jumping point for discussion about how a extended lease could look for Morgan Creek Grill. And unfortunately, it didn't quite go that way, and we are definitely in the process now for the RFP. And my final statement would, I'll keep saying time is of the essence for us to move forward with that. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was in no rush to get up here because what I'm about to say is a little embarrassing. But it has to do with one of your agenda items, the insurance documentation. And before y'all get into that, I just want to tell you the embarrassing part is Desiree sent me an email on July 26 requesting some information, a follow-up to the stuff we sent her. And in it was an attachment that I failed to open. I responded to the text of her email very timely, I think the next day or within 48 hours certainly, but I never opened the Word document. Fortunately, she followed up with me on Monday. I opened it Tuesday. My stomach dropped, obviously, but I got right on it, and she'll certainly update you where we are with that, but I'm sorry.
Nothing from Tidal Wave today.
Keeping it different.
Okay, keeping it different. Okay, moving on then to old business and item A, and I'm going to ask that we suspend the rules and go into executive session on this one before we commence with a discussion on the 1100 Palm right away on Pavilion Drive.
So get out.
Yeah.
Make
sure you
got to have a vote.
Motion second.
So moved.
So, second.
Well, you sure you don't want to postpone it until the end of the meeting? So the people aren't here for that?
I can do that because I expected there would be people here in the audience for that are not here. So let's do that. I'll withdraw.
Some people might not have an interest in it, and I don't know how long
it's
going
to take. No, you're absolutely correct.
Okay. So you withdraw your motion in a second?
Yeah, I'll withdraw. So we can move to, to item B. Update on unlicensed businesses operating out of the IOP marina with no lease with the city or marina manager. So I met again with Desiree on this item, and I want to just once again provide some clarity because item B relates to item C in my way of thinking at least. There was a question if we as a city are requiring businesses operating out of Marina to name the city as also insured, then why would businesses that don't happen to be with an operating lease either with the city or with Mr. Berrigan not have to comply with the same insurance requirements? And I was trying to be careful. I said this is certainly not an attempt to tell people they can't commercially operate out of the Marina, but it would appear that the liabilities are the same to the city if we were cognizant of businesses operating, whether they're under lease or not under lease. I don't think, you know, the intention here is not to reach conclusions on this. I don't know how many of these businesses are operating. We know there's a fair amount of charter boats that come on the island, do drop-offs and pickups. But if there's a way for us to move forward with council and with the administration in defining this, I know the opportunities would be to put them either under a city lease, which I don't think we want to do, or to entertain whether Brian would like to have them under a lease. And I don't think that's the intention there either. But what can we do as a body to ensure that the city has the same protections of all businesses operating there? Hopefully that explanation worked.
Yeah, that was very well put. We've done some research and we've been talking about it at staff level, what the options are for the city to do something related to this matter. I think we were hoping to get more clear direction from you all what the intention is, whether or not the intention is to reduce or limit the commercial activity of businesses that are now not a tenant of the city or a subtenant of the existing Marina tenants. If that is the intention, we have some options that you all can consider. If the intention is to make sure that the city is protected and there's insurance documentation, there's also options to consider and to study a little bit further.
Yeah, let me speak to that, because I can only speak for myself on this. Mm-hmm. The other two council members weigh in. I don't personally want to put charter boat captains out of business. That's the intention is to make sure that the city is protected, but not to impinge on somebody's right to make a living. So I don't think there was ever an intent to say there's limited marinas around here, people have a right to earn a living, and I don't want to be that guy that says you can't go make a living on the water.
That would be my conclusion, the protection of the city. As long as the city is also insured, then I think we're okay. Now, what that process is to make sure, I'm not sure how you go about doing that to find out who is using it on an irregular basis or just comes sometimes. But I do think we need to look into protection of the city.
Mm-hmm. I've had a brief conversation with the Marina operator about it, and of course he has a vested interest in making sure that not only the city is protected, but his operation as
right.
well. And we've talked about a couple of ideas of how we can do that. I'm hoping that I have a more thorough discussion with him about how that might look like and what the options we have, but that could be the next step if
that's fine.
You all agree.
Yeah. You good?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. Item C, update on insurance documentation requested from the Marina tenants. So as Brian Berrigan just stated in the Marina tenants' comments, we've had ongoing dialogue. There are portions of the current lease agreement with Marina Joint Ventures that state that the subleases, the lessees and the subleases on the part of the city should have appropriate insurance in the correct amounts and also have the city as named insured. And, you know, we're trying to do a couple things here. First, you know, we know we have the lease. It's not a question of whether we like the lease or not. It's How do we live by the terms of that lease and put processes in place that ensure that all parties involved are acting within the terms of that lease? So I had asked originally, are these subtenants, and Mr. Berrigan, you know, supplied a list of the tenants a while back, are they all insured to the appropriate amounts and do they all have the coverage as stipulated in the lease documents? And we found that some did and some did not. I'm guessing some didn't know that we needed to have these. When you start reading the fine print in a lease, you find things different than frankly assuming that you might have the right coverage. So I think where we're at now, we're left with a few that still are not compliant. And
I do want to have an update on this.
Okay,
and I can
please.
Speak not only to the marina joint ventures lease, but all the four leases that the city has in the marina,
please.
Because this is a requirement of all the marina tenants.
Correct.
Right.
Not marina joint ventures. So as of today, Tidal Wave Water Sports have satisfied all the information that we requested of them. Burial Isle, we communicated with them. We need there's still something missing about from the certificate of insurance. We need documentation about the dram shop insurance, which is a liquor liability. Marina joint ventures, there's two documents that will be provided to me, I believe, in the next couple days. In the past, talking about what Brian said earlier, that he hadn't received that document since then, in the past couple of days, those certificates of insurance that were missing have been supplied and verified. And then the marina outpost has submitted all the information that they need to submit. So far, there's one thing that we want more clarification for Barrier Isle, the restaurant, and two from Marina Joint Ventures.
And the two from Marina Joint Ventures relate to subleases or?
There's a dry storage agreement. There is the certificate of insurance does not list the city as an additional insurer, just as a certificate holder. So we need that updated. And the insurance amounts need to be updated as well on another.
So going down later though into the subleases, there's 14 operating subleases, if I'm correct on the number, with Marina Joint Ventures. All of those have compliant insurance?
Yes.
Okay. That makes that easy. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Discussions of alternatives available to optimize a municipal parking lot. This one's real simple tonight. I brought this up in the last real property committee. We agreed to move it to full council, and I wasn't bright enough to bring it up during my real property comments. So all we need to do with this one is recognize that I didn't bring it up, and we'll bring it up at the next
recognized.
Thank you so much.
Next subject.
And from that, update on marine operations. No.
Yes.
I'm making sure I'm reading from the same. When you have this fancy iPad here, you tend to look at two different documents, old school and new school. Okay, see, this is the old version.
Yeah.
That's
fine.
Yeah. Update on marine attendant operations and financial review by McKay, Kitty, and Associates. And I think this one is primarily to have some discussion around what the intent, and I would ask that Councilman Ward go through this.
Okay. This city treasurer, administrator, and I met with McKay Kitty
yesterday.
Sounds like a cartoon cat or something, doesn't it, McKay Kitty?
Yes.
You know? But right here, and they have those three representatives from there discussing what procedures that we were going to be looking at. We finally decided they're going to write up this accounting term called an engagement letter. Tell us exactly what they're going to do. It's not an audit. It's not a review. It's just agreed upon procedures, testing cash and revenues and cost of goods sold. Anything below the line, and what I mean by below the line, below gross profit or gross margin, we're not concerned with that at all. But it's going to be just highly concentrated on those items on the income statement. We're not worried about the balance sheet. We don't want to spend a bunch of money on information that we don't need. So I'm just waiting to get the engagement letter from McKay Kitty. And we feel like that appropriate work requested to get the information that would be useful to the city to make sure that terms of the lease are in compliance.
Do we have a time frame?
She said pretty soon.
Yes, we communicated with all the marina tenants and asked them to communicate with Melissa Kitty. She's the auditor we're working with, to set up a time for them to meet and to go over their processes, the information that they're gonna need. And after those meetings are held, we're gonna get the engagement letter, because a lot of the time will depend on those first interviews for them to understand the scope and how much time they have to devote to it. So we requested that connection between the tenants and the auditors happen this week. Some of them have already been scheduled for early next week, like Carla was saying. So we hope that those meetings happen next week and we can start moving the process along.
Yeah, we haven't even decided the period yet, what year end will be. Some entities aren't, I don't know, so I wouldn't even venture to guess, but I doubt many of them have a year end that is in alignment with the city's year end at 6:30. If they're S Corp or partnership or even Schedule C taxpayers, they probably have a year end at 12/31. So.
Sam, you good?
I'm good.
Okay. Moving to the next item, and I'll use the proper agenda. She just commented it's a short meeting, so if there's any request to lengthen this, I'll
I just have one question in regards to the audit. I'm sorry.
Excuse me, there's no.
I'm
sorry. Not proper.
I know, I just.
Good try. Yeah. So, new business. So, item N is a selection of firm or firms with whom to negotiate for public safety building design build project. So, to comment on what has occurred, we had a special real property committee meeting where we interviewed three different firms that are, you know, potentially critical to corrective actions that are needed with regards to the public safety building, the fact that we went through litigation, the outcome of that, and anticipated work that's going to have to be done very, very soon to remediate the problems in that building. I think it's worth noting on the front end, and I'm going to turn this over to not necessarily older council people to comment, but those that have been on council a lot longer. We've got a bit of a conundrum. We've got X amount of dollars put aside for a building that my comment during the review with these contractors is this is a bit like heart surgery. We don't know what all the problems are until we open it up and see what they are. So the discussion is around the envelope of the building and moisture problems, knowing that when we open this building up, we are likely to have many more problems than might look like on the surface. We've all done, as council members, we've all done personal inspections with Chief Graham to get a sense of what this looks like. But we're going in a little blind, and we're starting the front end of this process and trying to pick a contractor that we can have confidence in to get this rectified and not have to repeat this problem later.
Well, having taken that tour today and climbed up on top of the roof, and my comment was, how did this happen? And how can we prevent it from happening going forward in terms of obvious things? And I'm not a contractor. I've never built that building. But being able to see the ocean from that roof, it just makes sense to me that you should have materials that are not going to rust, that are not going to decay, that you don't have equipment put in upside down. The litany goes on and on and on and on. So I think that in going forward, the design build process is probably one that we need to adhere to going forward. The design bid build does not give the kind of cross inspections between the designer and the builder. And I think that was one of the main problems that we had with the public service building. I think it's a shame. I mean, it's an absolute shame to look at that beautiful building from the outside and then tour it and see the damage that has been caused by an envelope that was not done correctly, a roof that has not been adhered to correctly. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me in this day and age with the kind of contractors that we have that we're going to have to go through all of this. And I apologize to the members of the police and the fire, because as past administration and past council, we blew it. And you know, I apologize to you, Ann, and to the police, because your people should not have to be living in that environment, and we're gonna fix it. So going forward, I think the design build is something that we really need to look at as the way to go, and that's my comment.
Councilman?
Well, you know, I agree with everything you said, but you weren't around when all this happened. I wasn't around when all this happened. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but I think that the administration should be given kudos for coming up in a way to distinguish these firms with a really good evaluation criteria that we could go by, and we all had to go home and do our homework based upon, you know, objective ways we could distinguish between the firms, like team strength and capacity, firm strength, financial strength. You know, we interviewed these people for over 2.5 hours, each one of the firms, and asked them, you know, any other litigation, what's your experience? We want to know specifically, especially in Charleston County. And it was very revealing.
So just we're throwing terms around. Sure everyone interested, and I can tell you're all totally engaged. Design build, all of these, and to the city's credit, it's a contractor paired with an architect. Right, it's not just a contractor coming in without knowledge of how to look at these envelopes, what can be done with it. It's a teamed approach. We didn't have a teamed approach when it was built. We had contractors with low bid subcontractors, and I think citizens are going to be angry as this envelope unfolds. They're going to find that, you know, we have approximately $1.9 million set aside.
Eight.
And we're going to get into a process where this, and by the way, I'm not talking about this bid process right now, I'm talking about a multi-year process that is going to potentially be much larger than any of us sitting up here anticipate. And we're hoping it's not. The design build, the part I liked about it, because I asked questions, how do you bid on something when you don't know what the problem is? I mean, it's very difficult, right? So a couple of the firms did a really nice job of delineating. We first give you a good physical, right? And we're gonna stop at that point, and we're gonna tell you exactly what we think we know, which isn't going to be exact. And then we'll give you a cost plus type of methodology of, you know, if we attack this portion of the problem first, it'll be the actual cost plus whatever the percentage for the contracting markup is. But it's in a way that we can make intelligent decisions on how to spend city money over what period of time. This is likely to span multiple years. We've got some immediate remediation problems. We've got breathing problems in portions of the building. Chief Graham's nodding her head. So we're going to try to go after those things that are really critical first in a very responsible, and I think on part of this committee and any other of council, we've all stated we will have as many meetings when we need to have meetings to get through this so that we're not burdened by the cumbersome process of dealing with governments. This is critical. We've got to get it right, and we can't afford to make a mistake. So the process is for us, and I'll let Desiree jump in if she'd like to, but for us to down select to two of the firms. Councilman Ward mentioned we did a numerical rating on a bunch of things. We did not consort with one another to say, you know, what number do you give them. To me, it was really clear. Two of the firms stood out. The other firm, I think, was qualified. I have concerns about size, stability, ability to attract the right subcontractors, because in all this work, you've got to be able to remediate when we need remediation. We cannot make another mistake by going low bid or going wrong size contractor, not the right financial strength, etc. So we're going to make those recommendations, I think, in this tonight. I'm certainly prepared to turn it over to the city to begin the process of getting real bids from these contractors in a way that we can get this thing moving quickly.
Yeah.
Do I like that?
Yes, I like it, but instead of bids, let's say proposals.
Proposals.
Okay.
Yeah, bids are different. I should know that.
So we're gonna do that.
So let's.
Each one of us to say.
Yeah, I mean, I'll.
Number one, number two, or just top two.
Just top two.
Okay.
For me, the subjective. If they were close enough, I think Hill and Trident both. I would be content with either one of those. The third firm, again, I think the people were high quality. I was concerned about size and the lack of experience in municipal government buildings.
For me, Trident sort of came to the top for me because we have experience with them having built the other fire station, and the fact that it was done well, it was done above and beyond what needed to be done. I think that they would come into this this project with the same attitude that they do what needs to be done, not specifically what they said they were going to do. If they miss something, they'll come back and they'll do it. Hill, on the other hand, they're the ones that did the evaluation of all our maintenance needs. And so they're very familiar with not only that building, but all the buildings. So those were my top two, Trident and Hill.
My top one would be Hill and then Trident. Both firms I was impressed with. I'm like, Randy, I could go with either one. What I was impressed with both of these firms is we kept asking, like, how did this happen? How did this, just building this, you know, only 9 years old, and we have to do all this work? And they both stress proper supervision, lack of. And they impressed me as about how they, as soon as they open up the building, they photograph and document every single little thing, very meticulous, all the way through. So those are my Hill number one, Trident two.
So with that, I think we've tossed the ball to you and you run with it for a little while, right?
Yes, hopefully we'll have something in place to show you by the next meeting. If it's sooner, we'll be asking the chair to call for a special property or a property meeting to make additional decisions. I do wanna talk about the contractual process. We're looking at a two-phase process. We're first gonna be negotiating design fees, overhead and profit percentages for the first phase of the project, which is doing the investigative work, understanding what needs to be done. There are some things that we know that need to be addressed. We have an assessment that was conducted through a couple years ago of the whole building. So there are a couple things that we know need to be replaced and repaired. We think that we need to start with those. Those are the most critical, but also with the understanding that as soon as they get in there, they'll probably be uncovering additional issues that need to be addressed. So that'll be phase two, basically, of that process.
Promise the police and fire we're going to get it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Proper supervision.
Yeah. Next item on the agenda is discussion of the RFP process relative to the Marina restaurant. So I'll lead off with, I think most of the people in the room are familiar with the last couple of meetings and what we're trying to do, and thank Carl again for coming up with the explanation of citizen or Marina tenant comments. You know, we're in a situation that, you know, there's no right or wrong answer. We have a piece of property that's lease is up on October 2020. Right. So the intention, and well intended on the part of Morgan Creek Grill, for all of us to get out in front of this process in a way that nobody was time pressed to make decisions that we wouldn't be able to make. I think, you know, I can speak for the other council members, when we step back from it, we still believe we have lots of issues with the marina that we need to address. One of them is the commercialization of that piece of property, the parking issues with the piece of property. We've yet to implement the parking restrictions that go into effect when the signs come in on 41st and Waterway, yet many of those same problems are still there. So we have restaurant size and property. So I've asked Desiree, I said, you know, honestly, I think you've got to peel this back to a level of what property, when we say request proposal, what property are we talking about, right? Are we talking about the specific tract of land that is appended to Morgan Creek Grill, which is some limited parking? We haven't done our appraisal. We had an appraisal provided by Morgan Creek Grill in their package to council, and we also haven't done city inspections of the property. Now, there are certain items of maintenance that are in the lease for the current next 2 years that are the responsibility of Morgan Creek Grill. There are structural issues that I think we have to look at when we look at any kind of long-term lease. And I don't think the heartburn with council was so much the term of the lease at 15 years as what are we signing up for how much money, are we getting fair market value? And I will just state personally, I hate CPI as an indicator of value, right? It's way below the increased value of real estate over that time period being an intercoastal property, right? So. You know, as difficult as it is when you're dealing with, you know, neighbors and friends, we have an obligation sitting up here to know what the value of that property is. And we also have to take into account what the residents of this island want in the overall footprint picture of that marina property. And we're trying to put a proper process in place well in advance so that everybody's given an opportunity, including Morgan Creek Grill, to submit a proposal. By the way, non-binding, I might add. This is not a bid that's binding. This is not, you know, the low bid comes in and we've got to take that one. This is residential input, community input. The finances will be looked at tightly, and the overall impact on the residential vision, and I keep saying residential return on value, you know, what the residents want down here, right? So with that, I'll ask the other council members to comment.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I think that one of the things in looking at the RFP, we know it takes time. And the question that I have been asked is, what is Morgan Creek supposed to do in the meantime? They're going into the down season. The cash flow is not going to be such that they can make many changes or improvements during that time. So we've got now until 2020 for them to maintain a restaurant and to make changes or improvements, whereas maybe at the end of that time, they don't get the lease. I think the question for me, and I don't know how to answer it, is what do they do in the next 2 years while we're waiting on an RFP? And I'll ask my
counsel. How long will it take?
4 months at least.
Well, council needs to give us direction about sort of what Chairman Bell was talking and alluding to, the what is it that we're asking for proposals for? Is it the same type of restaurant? I think I've heard comments or questions about can the city reduce reduce how big the restaurant is. I mean, maybe the city wants a smaller operation there. I think that is guidance that we need from council, because we want to make sure that whatever we ask in the proposal is something that it aligns with your request.
Let me take another commentary. So our sort of run rate net loss, if you will, on the overall marina property is about $347,000 a year right now. We eliminate $300,000 a year in debt come February, right? So we're finally at a point, assuming no investments, which is unrealistic, we're at a point where the cash flow in and out and the transfers that we've been making each year don't have to be made at that level. Right, we've had discussions with the marina operator about investments that are required for that portion of the leased property. If you look at the building, we know there's investments that would come up for the building, right? When I look at this, and by the way, I've had every suggestion from, let's just tear it down, build a park, right? Well, there's no building maintenance on a park. I don't think that idea would fly very well with the residents. I think they actually do like to have a place to go with their flip-flops and have a beer, right? Now, it doesn't have to be as big as what's there. So when we look at this, and I don't know a better way to do this, and I'm certainly willing to work with the appropriate parties to come up with the best way. But when I look at it right now, I think we have an overcrowded marina, right? The last thing I want is another large venue restaurant spilling into neighborhoods that no longer have the access for parking, right? So do we constrict to the lease footprint? Or does it bleed over into properties that are under the control of marina joint ventures, right? So I think we need real estate attorney opinion, we need appraisal opinion, we need to define exactly what it is that we're able to, not what we'd like to, what we're able to go out for RFP, right? I don't think it's up to us to spill over into areas that are under this jurisdiction and control. So it's got to start with a definitive, this is what we're doing. So when we ask the questions of time frame, you know, I've got to push that back to the city and go, how quickly can we get through that front end process? And once we've done that, we can start that solicitation, including Morgan Creek Grill, to say, you know, look, you know, if that was an opening salvo with here's what we're offering, what would you like to do? You are a tenant that's been there a long time. You know, work with us, let us know, while we're collecting other information. We'll have fair market value, because other people are going to tell us what the property's worth.
I think the first step is to get an appraisal of the property and then conduct an assessment of the building.
The condition, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd like to know, you know, all things equal, no matter who the tenant is, what do we think we're gonna have to invest as a city to maintain that building, right? So there's terms under the lease that Mr. Clark's, you know, it's his lease now, but there's other elements of that building that are strictly on the city right now. You know, what are we looking at? You know, a year ago, that thing had water up to the electric underneath it, you know, when we had the Irma flooding, right? So, you know, we have issues that we're gonna have to plan for in any extensible lease or brand new lease.
Okay, so I'm hearing we're looking at appraisal and conditions, and so that's gonna be, I'm just, in my own mind, I'm trying to say, okay, are we looking at 4 months, 5 months, a half a year?
We're gonna lose 6 weeks here shortly once you hit Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm a realist, right?
Well, we can
Thanksgiving and Christmas.
We can certainly, you know, start working on those two items. Hopefully, we can have a time, after we have an understanding of the timeline of those two activities, we can put together a timeline, a realistic timeline of, you know, we can work concurrently while we're doing.
So,
I need guidance.
Just a thought I'm gonna throw out there, right? We have a special full council meeting scheduled for a different item coming up.
On Monday.
Does this need to go before council to move you in this direction, or we're good?
No, we're good.
Okay. Then let's get started.
Okay.
Yep. Giddy up.
Giddy up. So now we'll come back to item A.
Yep.
And suspending rules of order, we do need to go into executive session on item A regarding 1100 Palm and the right of way on Pavilion Drive.
Motion in a second.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank y'all.
The line, we wouldn't have another job for those.
It may.
It may.
So we're out of the executive session? Yep?
Yes.
Desiree, you want that?
Yes, I think it's it.
And here's, you want a clean one, then y'all can.
It is 5:14, and we are now coming out of the executive session. So we are now out of executive session, and no decisions have been made regarding 1100 Palm, the right of way on Pavilion Drive. However, we will be directing the city to further investigate and provide a survey followed by an appraisal of the property that is defined by the physical structure plus approximately 5 feet of steps in a way that allows conveyance of the property, sale of that property to the current owner, so that they're able to gain clear title.
That's it. Motion?
As a motion. Yes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
This will go before full
council
for approval.
Correct.
At the end of the month.
At
just
the end.
Wanted to make that.
With that, we are.
Motion to adjourn.
You have miscellaneous business.
Miscellaneous, we're not finished yet.
We don't have any tenants remaining.
But they are all current.
They're all current.
Okay.
Now the tenants report. Our next meeting date, 4 p.m. Wednesday, November 7th, in the conference room. And I will now make a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.